Hey, this is Curtis Armstrong, and you're listening to Mad Scientist Party Hour. Hello there, friends! Welcome back to another episode of Mad Scientist Party Hour. My name is Kevin Kraft, joined once again by a man who just had his pants and underwear seized by the feds and is currently jacking his boner off as he's shoved into a squad car. That's the king of the chodes, Jeff Clark!
Jeez Christ, that last one was overkill. Hey, what's up, Hunati?
And beaming to us from the Las Vegas Sphere, the panoramic bearded booger eater known as Shuddy Boy.
Yo.
Good to see you, gents.
Good to see you, sir.
Let's see here. What is on the docket?
The old docket.
Jeff, what's a docket?
Like an agenda.
Is it a mammal?
No, it's definitely a reptile. Definitely a bird.
Well, I mean, I do have some fun new audio for you guys, if you're interested.
Yes, we had a brief discussion of this off air. There's a new, is it a new resident or just a new...
You got a new neighbor?
In a sense, yeah. So I think this might... You never know. Time will tell.
Is this possibly the same person that you played a couple weeks ago?
No. This is a new character from Poop Slime Alley.
So distinctly different from the other characters.
Yeah. And that will become glaringly obvious once I start playing it. His nickname will also probably become very obvious once you hear it as well. But to get people up to speed, you know, just in case there's any new listeners chiming in or tuning in, I suppose, by my apartment in Studio City, the front entrance of it is kind of like a nice looking street with trees and grass and vegetation, and right across from this strip of shitty apartment buildings that I live in are these nice Studio City houses that are probably, some of them are multi-million dollar houses easily. But on the backside of the building, which is where all of my windows face, including my bedroom window, there is just a disgusting, rundown alley that I call Poop Slime Alley, because there's always turds and slime and you never know which is which. There's actually been two giant hunks of human shit in my parking lot for the past like 4 months. And I swear the people that maintain this building must just like be the laziest scientists ever. Like, I just want to see what happens when a fresh turd is left on the ground, how it changes over the course of 7 months, because they started as big, fat, wet turds, and now they've kind of shriveled up into like little hockey pucks. So there's also a crazy homeless problem in Studio City, and in the middle of the night when people are flipping out on their drugs, they love to stand right outside my window and scream at the top of their fucking lungs. It's been happening for years. And there was, I don't even know if I still have the audio of that one guy. I think he might have been the first person I ever recorded in Poop Slime Alley, who was, he was like yelling about women and like complaining about being an incel. And he said something to the effects of like, I'm sorry that I'm not Matthew McConaughey. Just real unhinged shit. People like to, you know, test out their material. It's a crazy person, open mic. So we had the trillion-dollar man who just went on a fucking epic rant flipping out outside my window. Here's a little taste of him.
Already with a great street nigga, my nigga. For the right cause. and I wasn't supposed to do that. Graduate, nigga. Got my A license.
Whatever drugs they're doing just makes them really angry and really chatty.
Because you're too stupid, you feel what I'm saying, to get money to bother you, especially the authorized by the commander in chief, dumb assholes. Y'all bitches are stupid. Y'all bitches are stupid. And if you pimp, bitch, you need your ass powerbombed, bitch. Oh, God. Oh, God.
It's been so long since we've heard the full clip.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't even play the whole thing, but later on he drops this nugget.
11 wet trillion.
So we just called him the $11 trillion man. This new guy woke me up at the ass crack of dawn. You'll be able to hear birds chirping in this because the sun wasn't up yet, but it was on its way. And like, I don't know, there is this little like walkway. It's almost like an alcove between my building and the one next to it. And it just, the acoustics must be nice because they all prefer to really just chill there for their rants. This guy was kind of pacing. Like, I heard him, like, trail off. And I'm like, man, that fucking butthole just woke me up. And then I hear him getting louder and louder. And I'm like, all right, well, this is going to be a thing. Might as well just grab my phone. God damn it. Where did that clip go?
Part of my brain is that I jerk off my shit.
That's not it. Oh, here it is. Here it is.
My lady gets bummed out every time I say that.
Like, I clearly have no fucking clue what this is. Yeah, I caught some putas. I caught some madres. Yeah, yeah. I caught the putas and the madres, but maybe, you know, some of our Hispanic listeners could translate what this guy's saying. But he was really going for it. That's just half of the clip.
Something about motherfuckers for sure. Okay. So he says, "You motherfucker."
Me?
I believe. No, whoever he's talking to, I'm confident that "tu puta madre" means "you motherfucker." I'm almost positive.
It's a good guess.
I heard dinero in there.
That's money, I believe.
That is, in fact, money. So, some motherfucker, I'm going to say, owes him some money.
Yeah. That's probably a safe bet. I mean, this guy was going back.
He desperately needs it.
Back and forth, walking the entire length of Poop Slime Alley, because I would hear him trail off, and then like the putos started getting louder and louder, and the dinero started getting louder. I'm like, oh, this guy's just fucking venting while walking. So just got like a little bit of a pacing thing going on here. Shuddy, it looks like you made a discovery.
No, I just was like, I'm gonna type this stuff into Google Translate, and then it translated it literally, so it's not helpful, because "tu puta madre," it says "your fucking mother," but I don't.
Well, maybe that's what he's saying. Maybe he's fighting with an invisible enemy, and he's like, "Your fucking mother owes me money," and he's yelling at a fire extinguisher. Translate this part, Shuddy. Slow down.
That's what I was thinking.
Billy Madison's gardener.
Yeah.
And then off he goes. Into the sunrise. So, I mean, that one's a no-brainer. It's the trillion peso man. I wonder if the trillion-dollar man just fucking vacated his territory, because he was showing up pretty frequently and then just gone. Radio silence. No trillion-dollar man.
Maybe the trillion-dollar pay or trillion peso man beat him out for a spot. They had like a loser leaves town match.
A turf war.
Yeah.
So through further Googling.
Oh, yeah.
He was actually insulting somebody's mother.
Oh.
Sounds surprising.
According to Google, tu puta madre means your whore mother.
That's what I would have figured, actually.
This guy's pissed.
I know puta meant whore. And I knew madre meant mom.
Well, there you go. There's my new alarm clock, the trillion peso man.
Wait, how many times have you heard him?
No, that was the first time. Although there was this other guy that showed up like 20 minutes later.
Ibericos? Chistora con patata. I think I got that one right though.
So there,
I stand by that pronunciation.
There might be two trillion peso man out there. That could be the next MSPH wrestling fight.
Chistora con patata. Ibericos? Chistora con patata. Ibericos? Ibericos?
All right, that's enough of that. Man, have there been any updates on Diddy since we started recording?
You can Google it.
Why? What happened with, I mean, other than all the other stuff that's been piling up? What?
Yeah, I mean, there was like...
Under his name, this isn't good, under his name in the trending column, there's the Diddler.
Ah!
I didn't realize his homes were raided by Homeland Security.
Yeah, that happened like just as we were connecting over Zoom. So like... There was that stuff where his ex-girlfriend sued him and was like, you know, it almost seemed like there was some Vince McMahon shit going, not literal shit, but like Vince McMahon stuff going on, talking about him like being a sex trafficker, suing him for like hundreds of millions or some incredible amount. And then like the next day, her lawyers release a statement being like, oh, we are now satisfied with our grievance or whatever. So like either... She got a big fat payday or a very threatening message being like, you better shut the fuck up about this. And then it was kind of radio silence on Diddy for a bit. And then it was all this stuff like he's a sex trafficker. He was fucking raping people. And then it was like all these dudes being like, yeah, Diddy would like fuck all these dudes. Like, he was like a dude raper. Like,
I did know that there's been some talk about Diddy diddling Meek Mill.
Yeah, and Meek Mill did not do a good job refuting those. Instead, he attacked one of the people that reported on it.
Ooh,
reported
that's never,
is an interesting way of putting it. It was DJ Academics. Yeah, it wasn't MSNBC. He didn't call them fake news. DJ Academics. He got mad at him, but like never denied what DJ Academics read on his live stream, which was just like the paperwork from the. From the court, or whatever, the legal documents. So I think because Meek Mill and Usher didn't really deny it, we can kind of go with P. Diddy raped them. Was it Usher?
I don't remember, but it's like I always thought, you know, when I was young, it was cool growing up in like the golden age of hip hop with the 90s stuff. And I was a hip hop fan when Biggie got killed. I was a hip hop fan when Tupac got killed, and I remember like, you know, back when he was going by Puff Daddy, he was always kind of just like, "Who's this a fucking annoying guy who keeps chiming in on Biggie songs, being like, can't stop, won't stop, like, man, shut the fuck up." The good guy is doing his part. And then when Diddy put out, or Puff Daddy put out that album after Biggie died, and he had that verse on the song with like him and Busta Rhymes, Victory. Like, Victory is a pretty sick song.
Oh yeah, it's on my workout playlist. I love that song.
Awesome song. But outside of that, Diddy was not a very good rapper.
All About the Benjamins was him.
I know, but that was just fucking corny. You know, that was like,
I like that song.
When that song came out, I was just like, man, this just feels just like, I didn't even know the term for it yet, but I was like, this just feels corporate. This feels like boardroom hip hop.
Well, that's what Bad Boy was all about, was that paper.
Yeah, that is true.
Now, as a licensed hip hop historian,
yeah, you know, I'm Shuddy Boy has his PhD in hip hop. If you're a member
there,
of our Patreon,
I'm getting there. But yeah, I mean, Diddy's definitely that era of, he changed how the music was sounding at that time.
I guess like how I mean, he was big in that whole like just taking instrumentals and like backing tracks from popular songs from eras gone and rapping over them.
Well, yeah, that's kind of always been hip hop. That's
it
not,
is, but like
that's not a good point, Shuddy.
That's not. It's he made it. He just brought more flash.
I know like hip hop always had samples and, you know, using people's backing tracks, but like, I feel like Puff Daddy never had anything but that, and they were just,
yeah,
like people tend to go with like deeper cuts, and Diddy went with like huge hits that were already like really well known.
Well, a lot of the reason for that was money. The more popular the song, the more you have to pay for the sample. So you're using more obscure stuff. Like early on, and there were a lot of albums in the mid and late 80s that ended up getting into a lot of trouble because they tried to sneak through without getting sampling rights.
Like, yeah, I mean, I still see that stuff like on iTunes. If like,
and that's
a lot
why
of old
some stuff
Biggie
isn't...
songs, the remix versions or like the modern versions that are available to stream will say like sample removed on Ready to Die. There's quite a few of those samples that they had to like remove and then kind of do like mock versions of them.
And that's why De La Soul's stuff wasn't up for streaming until last year, because clearing all this, they were one of the groups that got in trouble for sampling stuff without license, you know, paying for rights. So,
oh, no shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought about that a lot recently because, like, when I remember growing up.
Oh shit!
It was like a thing. Like it was Diddy's thing where he would sample old music, old famous music, and that's what he was known for.
Like the amount of money that Sting makes every year off of that song that
I can only imagine
that Diddy sampled. No, it's absurd. It's absurd. It's. I remember seeing the number real quick. Think Mountain Dew is a blessing to all humankind, because not only is Baja Blast available for all time now, but they still released Baja Blast Summer Flavors. And I've been waiting to drink this until we started recording.
Isn't Baja Blast already a special flavor? Now they're making special flavors of the special flavors?
Yeah, they've done that for a couple of years in a row. This is Baja Laguna Lemonade.
Ooh la la.
Is there like Spike Mountain Dews out there? Like Hard Mountain Dews?
Draven, go get me little umbrella. My drink umbrella.
Do you drink your soda warm?
No, there's an ice cube in here. There is. It just has been melting while we were chit-chatting beforehand. So I've been drinking the water, so the ice cube's not as big. That's really good.
Shuddy Boy's drinking his Mountain Dew like it's a fucking highball. Mm-hmm. Like a big brick of ice in it.
Yeah, you got a big ice cube. You did some mixology.
Yeah.
Only the best, you know, for the best.
I'm a fancy bitch.
What were we just talking about before I derailed
Puff Daddy. Because like basically the point I was trying to make was I always thought Puff Daddy was just like a fucking pussy. Like a joke in hip hop. Like if it weren't for Biggie opening the door for him, would anybody have let him, would the hip hop gatekeepers let that nerd in? Like Usher, fucking Meek, like wouldn't they just whip his ass?
I don't know. After Biggie, he built Bad Boy Records up into a really good record label and was able to, like, you know, use some of that money and invest in other artists and stuff like that. I don't know. I'm not as anti-Diddy as you, apparently. I wouldn't, like, get pumped about a new Diddy album back in the day. I don't even remember how many of them he came out with. But I don't know, like... I don't know, his place in hip-hop is fine, besides what comes out of this whole situation. I'm looking on this trending page right now, and Mace, on Mace and Cam'ron's podcast, replaced Pause or No Homo with No Diddy. So that's not good for Puff Daddy.
Especially coming from one of his main disciples.
Yeah. Right. I want to like click on this video and watch it or listen to his commentary because it's like, I mean,
if anybody's going to know,
what's up? Yeah, what do you know?
So there are two different numbers that have been thrown about for how much Diddy pays Sting for Every Breath You Take.
What are they?
Sting says it's $2,000 a day. Diddy says it's $5,000 a day.
Wait, even like weekends?
365
days a year?
$2,000 per day for the rest of Sting's life.
Is that because that song is still generating that much money every day? Or is that like the deal he struck?
That must have been the deal he struck.
$2,000 a day in perpetuity?
In perpetuity.
That's fucking nuts, man.
So he pays him $730,000 a year?
Okay. So apparently he didn't get that sample cleared before releasing the song.
Oh, so this was like a lawsuit?
This was like the agreement that they came to prevent a lawsuit, it appears.
Man, I have a feeling in like a couple of years, it's going to be real tough for Sting to get that payment.
A couple of years depends what happens with this Homeland Security raid.
I know.
Like, it might like, be quicker than that. But yeah, so it's anywhere from $730,000 a year, which is the number I had initially seen. But according to this, Diddy says it's $5,000 a day.
Man, he's going to have to kill that song from existence. He's going to have to pull like a Warner Brothers and just delete it for the tax.
$1.825 million a year.
That's nuts.
So somewhere between $750,000 and nearly $2 million. And Sting doesn't have to do a goddamn thing.
So are they kind of saying that Diddy has somehow been a hip-hop gatekeeper, and if you want airplay, you have to let him bone you in the butt?
It's like he's like Diddy Weinstein.
Yeah, did he like corner Usher in a restaurant and like jack off in a plant? I'm just all of the stuff I've seen has just been so vague. So it's like, so wait, Diddy fucked Usher? He fucked Meek Mill? Like who? Anybody else? Like Soulja Boy? Did he bone Soulja Boy?
I don't know, man. I don't know how many victims Diddy has under has how many notches he got on his belt, so to speak.
Yeah, and like if that's the case, how did that stay quiet for so long? I feel like the hip-hop community is very catty. And people don't hold back, especially when there's beefs.
Oh. Well, yeah, that's true. I mean, who would want to admit that on their end? But they someone had to know, you would think.
Yeah.
But I don't know, like, Bill Cosby did what he did for years, and it never was a thing until Hannibal Buress, right?
Yeah.
Like, I didn't he did tell a joke on stage of the Comedy Cellar?
Isn't I don't remember. I don't remember where it was, but that whole thing definitely came from Hannibal Buress being like, "No, he Bill Cosby is a fucking rapist."
Yeah, yeah, he said it like matter of fact, and then people launched investigations, and they fucking got Bill Cosby to an extent, right? Like, not anymore, but so maybe there it was just kind of like a known thing. Yeah, Diddy's fucking weird. You don't want to meet him in his hotel room. That's a trick.
Just ask
don't
Usher.
Go there.
What? Fuck. Man, that's nuts.
Yeah,
so, yeah.
It's like such like a high profile rape. Like even Meek Mill, where it's just kind of like, and how did no one talk about that? How is this the first time I'm hearing about it?
Yeah, how did Meek Mill just not fucking whoop his ass? Unless it was like a gunpoint type thing. Like, I know it's dark, but Jesus. I don't know. I'm trying to check to see if there's been any updates, if they like found anything in his place.
Refresh the page.
So from what I'm gathering about the Meek Mill and Usher thing, it is not implied that there was rape.
Oh,
they had sex.
Oh, they were just
that he had sexual relations. So, all right. So this all stems from a lawsuit by Lil Rod, who collaborated with Diddy on Diddy's most recent album, the Love album, Off the Grid.
This guy chose his rapper name as Little Rod. What, was Tiny Johnson taken?
Jones was allegedly the victim of mobbing by Diddy, suffered harassment, witnessed drug use, and he would have been a victim of sexual violence. Specifically, Diddy, the actor Cuba Gooding Jr., Young Miami sexually abused the producer. Part of the legal documentation that appeared online reads, Mr. Combs informed Mr. Jones that he had had sexual relations with the rapper, R&B singer, and Stevie. Although the names of Meek Mill and Usher were withheld, the attached footnotes suggest that it is them, as they are described with these words. He is a rapper from Philadelphia who dated Nicki Minaj.
Well, that could be anybody.
He performed at the Super Bowl and had a successful residency in Las Vegas.
I mean, it's nuts that you can get that close. You can give that much information out with like, but it could, I don't know, make your own judgment. Who could it be? His name rhymes with Schmarnold Schmarkenschmegger. Oh, well, clearly that's Brad Pitt.
The name rhymes with Seek Sill.
So how many of them were inappropriate? How much of it was sexual assault, and how much of it was just willing butt stuff? Like, are they not directly naming Usher and Meek Mill because they were having like consensual ongoing relationships with Puff Daddy?
Or are they not deliberately not naming them because
it could have been forced?
If they're victims, yeah, you don't.
God,
I don't know. I
this is so fucking weird.
Yeah, it's been on my radar so much as scrolling through Twitter and seeing stuff about it, but I haven't really gone looking.
Yeah, I mean, the pictures that they have on TMZ, it looks like every single federal agent that exists is on Diddy Street in Beverly Hills.
Well, they also raided his Miami house at the same time.
Whoo!
It was one of those coordinated strikes where Miami and LA happened at the same time. Synchronize your watches, fellas.
Yeah, they didn't want him to get, they didn't want to raid one, him get tipped, and him dump whatever files they're looking for. But like, what could they be looking for?
It's
like, who documents rape?
Well, no, it's specifically so like they're looking
Sex trafficking?
at laptops and stuff for, I guess, photos, but it says that it is allegations
I'm
of
seeing.
drugging women and raping them.
Oh, man. What a fucking piece of shit. There's also stuff
Crosby.
about, like, I saw a headline that was mentioning, like, arms dealing, drug dealing, and sex trafficking.
Well, this news article says there have been allegations that he had been drugging young women, and that the agency is likely looking into the alleged crimes committed in multiple states.
Whew. Yeah, he's
And
probably fucking toast.
and like Hannibal Buress with Cosby, this is because of Cat Williams.
Really? From all his like crazy podcast appearances?
Was it with him and Shannon Sharp?
It was with him and Shannon Sharp, yeah.
No shit. What did he say? Can you remind me? I remember
This
watching.
article just says all lies will be exposed, Williams said when asked about Diddy, Harvey Weinstein, R. Kelly, and Michael Jackson.
Fuck, dude. That is not a good group of people to be connected with.
Yeah. Yeah, if you were like, hey, what do Michael Jackson, Bill Cosby, Jeffrey Epstein, and Kevin Kraft have in common? I'd be like, whoa, wait a second. It better be that we all wear shoes on our feet when we go outside.
Entertainment visionaries?
Yeah. That is
I
that's a tough
say it
lineup.
you well.
That's a tough
Fly Like
lineup.
an Eagle is a dope song.
Well, I have a feeling there's going to be some crazy fucking shit coming out of this. Good Lord. Well, man, I just, what the fuck is wrong with people? Seriously, like, you make all that money. Like, since he was Puff Daddy, he's just been filthy fucking rich. And then, you know, all of his goofy vodka stuff and all the like pieces of the pie he's got going on. You still need to do, you know, like if these allegations are true of
Well,
like the firearms, like a what do they call it?
I haven't
An
seen
arms
anything that
dealer?
actually says that he's an arm that this is
I
in
don't.
relation to
What the fuck?
arms dealing.
The
This
fuck did
is
I see that
all.
then? But like, and then you know, you're like an ultra rich, powerful celebrity. Like, women are gonna throw themselves at you. Why the fuck do you need to fucking rape people, you sick bastard?
It's
Who
gotta be
fuck?
something with when you have the kind of money that it's not a hindrance and you can get whatever you want. You're always trying to find it's I'm
You
trying to
don't
word
say.
this so it doesn't think that
Well, we can
so
just
it's
bail,
not
Shuddy. We can bail. We can bail.
no, it's just like I think when you have fuck you money like that, you don't get pleasure out of anything that comes easily. So you've got to do depraved shit.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess
Because
so. Because, yeah, I
if
mean, there's so
you
many
could
other
just walk into a
examples of
room and be
this.
like, who's fucking me? And every woman is like, I will.
You're saying
Maybe some people that's a problem for and doesn't get their juices flowing anymore. And that's why you have shitty people in the world like this, and
Yeah.
the other rapists that have been in the news of late. We all know who I'm referring to, but won't say his name.
Well, the guy from that 70s show, right?
I mean, he's one of them, but I was
Yeah.
not talking about Danny Masterson.
Yeah, I know. Well, I'm sure there's going to be some pretty fucking weird updates in the coming weeks from this story.
But
Jesus.
while we're talking about Diddy, it brings me up to a,
Wow, edgy transition, Shuddy. What do you got?
well, it's actually relevant Two. We're sticking in line.
Okay.
Ready to Die or Life After Death?
Cool. A little unfair because Life After Death is a double album. But man, that's tough. They're both so fucking good. I don't know.
Because
Do you have
this
a
week
do you guys have a
is
clear
the
favorite? I guess Jeff does.
I would go
27th anniversary. Today actually is the 27th anniversary of the release of Life After Death.
I would go Life After Death. I actually been listening to that album a lot recently, like at the gym and stuff.
I mean,
So,
Notorious Thugs, that's a banger.
I
I've always
think
been partial to I
the
Love the
last,
Dough.
I think that Life After Death suffers a little bit in the back half,
Yeah, it
because
definitely
that's
peters
where it
off.
gets skit heavy. That's where it gets skit heavy. On the intro to songs.
I thought I was the odd man out on not liking when rappers put their fucking SNL auditions on their albums. You don't like them either,
No, I'm
Jeff?
okay with the skit.
Some of them, I'm okay with them 60% of the time, and then the other 40%, they're
Some are just
like
straight up
nothing.
weird. Like the one with when Dr. Dre, I don't know if it was on like the Chronic 2001 or whatever, but
Yeah, I know what you're talking
him having like a fake three-way. It's like him
about.
fucking two chicks. It's like, what? Okay, one, this is just like three people in a voice tracking booth recording lines. And two, why do I need to fucking hear this? It's so fucking weird.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I don't know. I got nothing to add to that commentary. I prefer Life After Death, I guess.
I prefer Ready to Die.
I guess
You
if you're
said I Love
going,
the Dough is your favorite one, Kevin, off that.
it's not my favorite, but it's definitely one of my go-tos. I mean, it's a double album, so it's got some really good songs, but it also does have a decent amount of filler. I would say start to finish, Ready to Die might be better. But if you plucked like the five best songs from each, Life After Death might beat it. Well, anyway, I do have
Told you it was relevant.
some more audio for you guys. So this is a thing. I don't want to say too much about it before I play it.
All right, play it. I
But I
have to
guess.
go take a leak or I'm going to pee my pants. I will be able to hear you.
Okay. I would like to get your guys' interpretation. I guess not interpretation. What I want you guys to give me the Shazam lyrics to this. So I guess this is a clip that went around a couple years ago, but I just heard it for the first time. So what do you think the lyrics are of these chanting men?
That is embarrassing. That is embarrassing. That is embarrassing. That is embarrassing. That is embarrassing.
Do you have any guesses?
No. Is that the Osage people?
I don't. I think it's a bunch of Irishmen.
Oh.
But they're doing like that. Meow, 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 meow. Meow, 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 meow.
Isn't that an
With their.
Italian thing?
I think so.
Say, play it one more time.
That is embarrassing. That is embarrassing. That is embarrassing.
Sounds like Loch Ness and Palm Springs.
Let me hear it again with that. Loch Ness in Palm Springs.
Yeah, sing it
That
with
is
it.
it.
That is embarrassing.
Loch Ness in Palm Springs?
Yeah.
All right, here, let me cue it up.
That is embarrassing.
Loch
That is
Ness in Palm
embarrassing.
Springs.
That
Loch
is
Ness in Palm
embarrassing.
Springs.
That is embarrassing.
I hear it.
Yeah, it's
Or
pretty good, right?
Yeah.
It sounds to me, so it sounds like an oi band gang vocals.
Yeah, this is like this is like a one of the Dropkick Murphy skits on their album.
Yeah. Yeah, like or just in the like the music stops and everybody chants a line.
So Shuddy, if you were going to chant
a soccer chant.
If you were going to
all I hear the two syllable word here I hear at the end is viruses.
That is embarrassing. That is embarrassing.
Something viruses?
Something viruses, yeah.
All right, let me throw one at you. Listen to it again and picture Bart Simpson bouncing.
That is embarrassing. That is embarrassing. That is embarrassing.
Did you hear it?
Not bad either.
It's has to be a soccer chant or a football chant. Sorry.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Now listen again and think these lyrics. Rotating pirate ship. Rotating pirate ship.
That is embarrassing. That is embarrassing. That is embarrassing. That is embarrassing.
Listen, it can sound like anything we want it to as long as we use the same number of syllables because the words are so unintelligible.
What about that is embarrassing?
That is embarrassing. That is embarrassing. That is embarrassing. That is embarrassing.
That actually might be it.
Okay. What about baptism piracy, though?
Like, they could be chanting, that is embarrassing, after somebody scored an own goal.
Well, keep this in mind when you listen to it. Are they chanting baptism piracy?
That is embarrassing! That is embarrassing! That is embarrassing! That is embarrassing!
All I hear now is that is embarrassing.
All right, what about that isn't my receipt?
That is embarrassing. That is embarrassing. That is embarrassing.
So apparently, this
Loch Ness and Palm Springs. I think I got the closest.
Loch Ness and Palm Springs. I definitely hear that.
That is embarrassing.
So I guess this is an audio illusion. So there's this massive list of all the different things, and if you keep that in your head, it'll sound like it. There's like. That isn't mercy, lactates in pharmacy, lobsters in motion, rotating pirate ship, that isn't my receipt, Bart Simpson bouncing, and now we have to add Loch Ness and Palm Springs to the mix. But do you remember, it was like a clip of a robot guy, and it was either saying Laurel or Yanny. Do you guys remember that one from like years ago?
Yeah. Yep.
It's like the same thing. Whatever you keep in your head, that's what you're going to hear. Those things are so fucking weird to me.
So what is it actually?
That is up for debate, I guess. I just saw this on like some suggested reel, and I was like, oh, that could be a fun thing to play for the guys.
So there's not even any answer for it.
I don't know. I'm going to Google Bart Simpson bouncing.
I thought you came up with all of those on your own.
No, I'm not that clever.
You could have said it, and I would not have called you on it.
Bart Simpson bouncing. The origins of the TikTok illusion. Wow, this is from 2021, so this is like 3 years old.
We're a little late to this party.
Yeah. But, you know, viral clips, they it's like Our friend who likes a succulent Chinese meal.
Are you waiting to receive my limp penis?
You know, that guy's been around forever, and every couple years, he pokes his silly head up and new people discover him. So I can't see anything that claims to have the actual words to what they're saying. Lactating pirate ship.
Words are fun, right?
I went to the theatre this past weekend, gentlemen.
Oh.
And I saw... Has this movie made it on your guys' radar? Late Night with the Devil?
No.
My brothers went and saw that yesterday. They did like a horror movie double feature. They saw Late Night with the Devil and
Immaculate.
Immaculate, yeah, the Sydney Sweeney movie. Because they were both, I think, like 90 minutes long. And my brothers is almost as much as you, if not more, are just huge horror movie fans. So
I
crack them both out.
I do want to see that Sydney Sweeney one.
Yeah.
It's not getting as good reviews as Late Night with the Devil, but everybody seems to be in agreement that the third act and the final scene is just fucking bonkers, and I do kind of want to see
bonkers
that.
Bonkers in a good way?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like,
your brothers didn't share that kind of information with you, Jeff? That it was bonkers?
We didn't talk much about it, honestly. They came home late last night, and I was kind of in a daze slash mostly passed out.
Did they give the thumbs up or thumbs down on either of them?
They preferred, I'll text Bill now to get a score. They preferred the first one, the
Late Night with the Devil.
Late Night Show with the Devil.
What is it? Like the Late Night Show with Satan the Devil?
I heard Dustin Ibarra is going to do a good 10 minutes on the Late Night with the Devil.
Yeah, he was the warm up guy.
He seemed in his face paint recently, and no weenie tips. He's getting ready for that.
I will say the Late Night with the Devil's got a pretty cool, unique premise. It sort of borders on the whole found footage thing, but it's basically like this fictional late night guy in the 60s or the 70s. I'm sorry, who was trying to go up against Carson in the ratings and just kept getting trounced no matter what he did. And then they do a Halloween episode where he's like, you know what, we're going to do some spooky shit. We're going to have on psychics, and we're going to have this girl on who's supposedly possessed, and we'll do like a little seance and get the devil out of her and show that. And so it basically plays out like it starts with this little produced packet that's almost setting it up like a documentary, you know, given the backstory of it and showing the clips. And then they just show the episode as if it was like, you know, somebody had a VHS copy of it as it aired. And then in between commercial breaks, they do these black and white sort of behind the scene things. Shuddy, how come you're shaking your head?
This sounds like that movie I watch with Mark every Halloween.
Which one's that?
I can't think of the name of it. I'm trying to look it up right now.
Oh, wait. I think I know what you're talking about. Yeah, it's... wow, you're right. So this is kind of derivative of that.
What the fuck is this?
Maybe it's in the similar You May Like. Oh, no.
Well, luckily, I have my Spooky Season 2023 list. So the WNUF Halloween special.
That's it. Yeah. Yeah.
Where it's a newscast and then they do like, it's like a live taping of a seance at a supposedly haunted house. I mean, it's similar.
Did you like that one, Shuddy?
We watch it every, I've made Mark and I do a Halloween movie double feature, and my only requirement, he can pick whatever movies he wants, but we have to watch WNUF also. Like that's
shit.
A given.
Because it's also hard to find a copy of, right?
It is. I left a fun review about it, and the director actually directed me on where you could purchase it, and there's a sequel.
No way. Oh, yeah, there we go. Wow. That's fucking cool, Shuddy. You got a reply from a director on Letterboxd. No shit. Glad y'all had fun with it and happy Halloween. Look at you, fat dick Shuddy.
So that's why I was shaking my head, because I think like this is, as not a fan of horror movies, like this is a nice kind of like watch it in between two to kind of reset and have something I'm enjoying. Not that I disliked anything Mark has had me watch, but I just really think this is fucking hysterical.
Well, I'm actually, you know, I'm very curious to hear your and Mark Rooster's review if you ever do end up seeing Late Night with the Devil, to see how it holds up. Wow. All right, I'm going to have to take a look at that guy's Letterboxd profile so I can try and figure out a way to watch that one. But Late Night with the Devil, I guess, it was almost, I was very close to bursting out laughing because I went and saw this during the week by myself. I went to the Alamo Draft House. I ate a couple gummies when I got in the car, so they kicked in when I got in my seat. And I have never seen a movie with more production cards, vanity cards that plays before it. And they're all horror themed. It was like 17 in succession. I was like, oh my God, how many production companies were involved in making this fucking movie? Like, the first one was Shudder, and by like the 12th, I was like, is this a bit? Is this part of the movie? Are these real fucking companies? This is insane. But it was the pacing on it was, it's not just like nonstop horror through the whole thing. Like, it's a slow burn. It builds up to it. And then it, you know, ends with a pretty big bang. But I don't know if it was the gummies or the vibe, but I was in for the whole thing. I was like, I love the way this is playing out. I like the aesthetic, even though I prefer 80s stuff to 70s stuff. The banter between, so the host is played by David Dasmalchian, who's always in movies. He's like a very talented character actor, but he kind of never plays the same character twice, and he's also usually never the lead. And it was weird seeing him as the lead and playing like a charismatic late night host. He's usually
pretty doofy.
A little bit. Like, he was that, I think the first thing I ever remember seeing him in was in The Dark Knight, when he was like that, you know, mentally ill guy who someone starts like wailing on him, and they're like, why are you beating that guy? He's clearly fucking crazy. He's not going to give you any info. He was like dressed up like a cop, but he had, it was Two-Face is beating him up because he was wearing a name tag that said like Rachel or something. He's like, where's Rachel? Ah, where's Rachel? But he also, like, Carl and I just rewatched Blade Runner 2049, and he meets a pretty grim end in that one. But he always kind of just plays like very quiet person. I guess not Polka Dot Man in Suicide Squad, but it was a different role for him, and it was cool to see him sort of stretch his acting chops. I bought him as a late night host, and it did some cool world building within itself as almost like a found footage thing. I thought it was cool. I when I got out of the theater, I went on the old Letterboxd to log it and rate it, and people had started review bombing it already. Because I guess the filmmakers, every time some shit happens and they cut to like, ooh, we're having technical difficulties, and it's like a 70s themed little, we'll be right back. I guess they, for three of them, they started it off with AI and then turned what AI cranked out over to their graphics department, who then tweaked it and made it their own. So people were fucking pissed. Pissed! Giving it fucking micro dick scores on Letterboxd. And while it is disappointing, like, fuck AI. The only thing AI should be used for in entertainment is restoring old movies. Everything else, if you don't have the fucking money for it, just don't do it. Don't cut corners and use AI. It's bullshit. That being said, I'm not ready to fucking skewer this movie for three title cards that the graphic department who was getting paid then worked on. But still, slippery fucking slope. I would not recommend.
So you're pro AI is what I'm hearing.
I am not recommending anybody play with fire that is AI. I mean, I've only made one film with a micro dick shoestring budget. And if there was anything outside of reach, I'm not getting there by the use of AI. I'll tell you that. But these guys, whoof, Man, they are facing the fucking wrath. The internet is pissed. Because I kind of wanted, like, a lot. I feel like so many movies do, like, deep post-credit scenes now where I'll kind of, like, Google it beforehand, or if I forget, I'll be in the seat, and when the credits start rolling, I'll be like, all right, does this movie have a post-credit scene? So I Googled that for Late Night with the Devil, and there was nothing about a post-credit scene. Everything was about the directors using AI for those little title cards. I bet they're fucking kicking themselves too, because it's a good flick. And to step on a landmine like that, just, that's unfortunate. So AI aside, I will say, I will suck like 4.25 devil dicks. It was really fun.
Oh, wow. Bill gave Late Night with the Devil 3.5 and Immaculate 3.
Okay.
I think he considers 3.5. Well, I think everyone considers 3.5 a good score, right?
Yeah. I mean, if you look at a Letterboxd page for a movie and it's 3.5 or higher, odds are that's a solid flick.
Well, we don't do the same for food, right? Because on Yelp, I need to see like a 4 or 4 or higher usually.
Yeah. Unless it's like, I don't know, sometimes I'll look at the 1-star reviews, and if it's people bitching that like, somebody was mean to me, it's like, all right, you were being a fucking unreasonable Karen. Someone told you to fuck
that,
off. And
that, for almost everything, that is more the way I go. Is instead of looking at the overall star rating, I'll look at the bad reviews, and I'll filter through those based on how, what's somebody just being a little bitch and what's a valid complaint.
Yeah.
Like, and Letterboxd, or not Letterboxd, movies for What the Fuck Did I Just Watch are a really good example of this. Not that they're good movies, but there are so many times that the 1-star reviews on Amazon are because the person bought the wrong region DVD, or the DVD showed up scratched. Like, yeah, that doesn't affect my on, like, so I do that with restaurants too. Like, if service, if there's 10 bad reviews that say service is slow, chances are service is slow. But if only one bad review says service is slow, then it,
that person was just impatient.
I don't use that as a factor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I do want to go see that Immaculate movie, just because I'm intrigued with their PR campaign of really hyping up the finale has got me. I'm into it. I guess people are also, like, religious people are all triggered. And the social media campaign has decided to retweet every one of those angry people. And I also appreciate that. I think that's a solid move.
I just saw that Sydney Sweeney is starring in a Barbarella remake.
I saw rumors of that too. And supposedly Edgar Wright is going to direct it.
A Barbarella is a, I've never seen it.
Me neither.
It's a Jane Fonda movie, but it's like a space kind of opera, but it's very,
she's basically wearing nothing in it.
Very Jeff C. Tit.
Yeah, she basically wears tiny tattered rags for the whole movie, from what I've gathered.
Well, here.
Oh. Are they selling tickets currently?
They have not.
Is there a wait list I can get on?
They have not shot the Barbarella Sydney Sweeney remake yet, Jeff.
So that's Jane Fonda in 1968 as Barbarella.
Wow. Yeah, that's
holy
something.
Fucking shit.
So Sydney Sweeney is supposedly starring in the remake.
Speaking of remakes, have either of you guys watched the Roadhouse remake?
I did. That's my review.
No
did
way. I didn't. No.
Jeff, okay. Did you see the Point Break remake, Jeff?
I did not.
Oh, I wanted
Did
a
you see it?
comparison. No. I
But did you
refused
see
to.
Roadhouse?
Nope.
Okay. I
I've
win.
seen mixed things about it. So I'm happy to
From who?
hear
For, about
I've just
Roadhouse?
about Roadhouse, just from scrolling through the internet. Some people have said it was pretty decent. Some people have said they haven't made it through five, couldn't make it through 5 minutes. I'm interested to see where you fall.
Yeah, I needed something to review. I don't feel like I've reviewed a movie in the last couple of weeks, and I felt bad about not going to the double feature and my brother's hanging back and just watching basketball, but I had money on the games. It's my job. I prefer to watch basketball than go to the theater, so whatever. But basketball ended pretty quick, ended somewhat early last night because the games weren't good. So I was like, fuck it, I'm going to put on Roadhouse. Like Jake Gyllenhaal, the original Roadhouse is one of my favorite movies ever. And contrary to what Shuddy just said, I only heard bad things about it. Like there was one person that I heard say it was pretty good, and it was the military hardo that also writes at Outkick, who I like, I do, but we don't have the same taste, especially in movies. But he went there and he said it was good. I actually liked it, so I was like, "Fuck it, I'll give it a chance." Not that that really nudged me. And I want to say it's probably the worst movie I've ever seen. It's in the conversation. It was epically bad. Arts actually texted me right before we started recording. He said they should have called Roadhouse Cocaine Terminator, which is actually a pretty good joke because Conor McGregor is like the bad guy in it, and he is just whacked out of his brain on these promotional tours. Have you seen footage of this?
I only saw a screenshot of people being like, wow, is Conor McGregor okay? And he was like, his eyes were half closed and his face was all puffy and he looked like he hadn't slept in a month.
The screenshot's actually way better than if you watch the video.
No shit.
Like he is completely, yeah, he is coked out of his fucking mind just giving his tour. But I mean, there's nothing good to say about the movie. The story, the plot made no sense. The character back and forth made no sense. Or the back and forths between the characters made no sense, I should say. The action really wasn't that good. The fight scenes, like the way they shot them were okay, but there wasn't enough to offset just how bad the dialogue was.
That's what I've
and
been
the
seeing
story
from, like,
was.
From people that hated it. They throw at the bone of like, at least the fights were kind of cool.
Yeah, but there just wasn't enough of them to make it tolerable.
I don't know
I
if this is
a
spoiler, Jeff, but are there any throat rips?
I don't know. I don't think so. I don't think so, no.
That would be cool if that was like Jake Gyllenhaal's fatality to Conor McGregor at the end. He just rips his throat out. Man.
No.
I guess they should have called
yeah,
this Chode House, huh?
Dude, it was so bad. And I don't want to say I feel bad for Jake Gyllenhaal. It was just weird seeing him in such a bad movie because I feel like I usually like Jake Gyllenhaal stuff. Like Nightcrawler kicked ass. He was in Prisoners, right? It was him
yeah.
and Hugh Jackman.
Yep.
That was
rules.
That was rad. I'm spacing
Darko
out.
Darko is one of your favorite movies, isn't it?
Me? I've never seen that movie. I've heard enough about it to know that I probably wouldn't like
you would
it.
Hate it. You would fucking
was?
Hate it. Yeah, it was
yeah,
a joke.
Yeah,
yeah
right.
I think Johnny Darko's fucking awesome. I love Johnny Darko. I've
only seen it once and I hated it.
Unappreciated Jake Gyllenhaal movie, I'll say, is The Day After Tomorrow.
Prince of Persia?
It's been a long time, but I remember thinking Day After Tomorrow was fucking awesome the first time I saw it.
Prince of Persia. That's like one of those movies that wasn't made too long ago that actually couldn't get made today. You know what I mean? Like, you can't have a white guy be the Prince of Persia. Like, no fucking way. Not in 2024 Hollywood, sir. I'm struggling to do as I'm just never going to be as good at these movie reviews as you are, Kevin, to give you more examples of why it was so terrible. It was just really bad.
I mean, I'm intrigued. I'm going to watch it, even knowing that it's terrible. But I have heard very, very bad things. And then I was surprised. Like, I was expecting, from the early stuff I heard, I was expecting way lower scores on stuff. But, like, I don't know. I mean, I'm looking at it right now, and it is all over the place. Like, just on Letterboxd people, Tomas gave it one dick, Blorp gave it four dicks.
Oh, I usually like Blorp's taste. I don't know what the fuck she was thinking.
This tracks. That does not surprise me. After the lie that she told me about the fucking Lost City, of that being a four dick movie, that's deduct 3.5 from whatever she puts on Letterboxd, you'll get the correct score of the movie.
Shuddy's
like the American Pie 2 rule of three.
Then we're going to have MSPH Wrestling Shuddy versus Blorp.
Man, I'd pay to see that match. But man, it was bad. Yeah, I would give it a zero. Like, if I'm being objective.
Is it bad enough that you'll start a letter, you'll go start putting stuff on Letterboxd and file this in a list of worst movies you've ever watched? Is it that bad?
I guess nothing is that bad, because I'm just not going to go through the energy to do that. But I mean, if there was ever a movie that I could confidently say this is probably the worst thing I've ever seen, it was that one.
Really? Because I feel like you've been offended by a handful of movies in the past year or two.
This one's less offensive because I had really no expectations for it. Like, I assumed I wasn't going to like it and it was just going to be bad. But then I guess a part of me was like, you know, like, I don't think there was titties in the movie, which I can't understand the decision making behind that. But like, if you give me some violence, some titties, like, how bad could it be? Like, I can get through it. And it just,
maybe a titty causing some violence. I don't know. I'd be into that.
The craziest thing about it is if you're like, hey, all right, so check out this movie that's co-starring Conor McGregor. Just, it's terrible. Like, you're going to hate it, but check it out. I would assume going into it, like, man, Conor McGregor must have fucked this up. He wasn't really the worst part about the movie. He wasn't good, but it wasn't like it felt like he nailed his lines in his role.
Sometimes you do see a movie where like the acting is perfectly fine. Everybody does their part, but it's just, you know, probably just a shitty script. You're like, I don't know. They did their best. Nobody could have done better than what they did. And this movie still blew.
Right. I mean, Jake Gyllenhaal plays like a former UFC fighter with a sketchy past. I won't spoil any of it for the listeners, but like, he's in his mid-40s and he's so fucking ripped. There isn't an ounce of fat on his body. And like, I'm 37. I've never been in the shape Jake Gyllenhaal has ever been in, frankly. But like, I can only imagine how much work he put in to look like that. And for that work to have those kind of results, must have, part of him had to be disappointed. Like, obviously the paycheck's good and like, you have that physique and it's like, fuck yeah, that's cool. Yeah. But it's still like, damn dude, like I did like a fucking, I did MMA training for 4 months and that's what we got out of it.
Well, from what
that's what I did.
I wish I had saved it, because I did see this headline where they were talking to these like big name actors that got just absolutely shredded for roles. And they were like, yeah, towards the end of shooting, I was like on the verge of passing out. Like, it was so, my regimen was so fucking terrible to my body. And they say like, the second they rap and they're not just doing that just clinically insane routine, their bodies change in like 3 days.
Yeah, dude.
Because they like, I don't know what it is. They deprive themselves or something, and like,
yeah, they're probably like cutting weight like a fighter would do for a fight, but they do it every day essentially.
Yeah, like they're I think they're not drinking enough water, like all this stuff to just make them look. I think Zac Efron, when he did that fucking Baywatch movie where he basically just looks like he's made out of porn star dicks, like that, like, I think almost killed him. It is pretty nuts. Like, you feel like you see somebody in that shape, like, wow, that is a peak specimen. That is somebody like on the tip top of health. And it's like, actually, that they might be doing more harm than you know, the three of us.
Yeah, you see, like, Christian Bale and how jacked he got for American Psycho or The Batman Begins, and it's like, you know, the work that he put in. But at least it's like, at least in my opinion, those are iconic movies, the Batman series with Nolan and American Psycho. So it's like, hey, yeah. You can argue it's worth it, you know? Just like Jake Gyllenhaal, man. Like, I can only imagine how much work he did to get that cut. Like, and for that movie, for the movie that he got from it, I would have been fucking furious. So my score is a zero. I honestly couldn't recommend it to anyone. I couldn't be like, you should spend, I think it was like 123 minutes long. So it was like a little over 2 hours, but it's just like, I don't know. I don't really know why Jake Gyllenhaal's character, like, was hired. It was a little loose as to why there was beef between one of the villains and the bar owner. And then Conor McGregor, his character worked for the villain's dad. And it didn't seem like the story was bonkers, and it was fucking dumb. It was dumb. That's how I'm gonna leave it.
I mean, is this something that could make an appearance on What the Fuck Did I Just Watch with Shuddy and Dom?
Yeah, sure, absolutely. But I my only thing about those movies or about that Patreon series is, like, part of it is, Shuddy's a wild card, but Dom kind of likes these movies. It's hard to pin Dom's taste. I couldn't imagine anyone being like, all right, that was cool. That was a good movie. It's like, it was so bad. And like, I was like, my brother sat on the couch for when they got back from the movie and watched like the first, like watched like 10 minutes of it with me. And I was like, this is cool. Like, all right, cool. Like, I was trying to talk myself into it, and just by the end, I was like, "No, that's about as bad as it gets. That's probably the worst thing I've ever seen."
It is kind of weird that the only people of name value they could get were Jake Gyllenhaal and Conor McGregor, and everybody else is just
chick?
Like, never heard of any of these people. I'm looking at the list right now.
See, the main villain felt like he was somewhat famous. Like, I recognize his face, and I couldn't place him.
Oh, are you talking about
Billy Magnuson?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm looking at his filmography. He's got some credits. He's just not, like...
Oh, The Big Short. That's where I knew him from. The Mortgage Broker. Fuck, I knew that.
Oh, yeah.
And then they had that guy, Joaquin Del Almeida, who's the bad guy in Desperado. El Blunto. I forgot that guy was alive, and they just completely butchered. Like, they gave him a shitty character. He did his thing. Post Malone was in it, yeah. This chick, Daniela Melchior. I hope
Iberichos?
I never see her again. Iberichos? Jessica Williams. Have you guys ever heard of her?
I mean, it sounds
like she was
familiar.
On The Daily Show, right? Chistora Khan Patata. I feel like she used to be on The Daily Show, and she was pretty hot, but...
Yeah.
She was.
Yep. Yeah, she was on The Daily Show. I just found her bio. Yeah.
She's the youngest correspondent of The Daily Show ever at 22. Damn, yeah, she is talented.
Holy shit. Yeah, I'm wondering at what point do they just learn their lesson on these reboots and try something new? I mean,
like,
here we are just getting excited about a remake of Barbarella.
Like, I really like Roadhouse. I want to toe the line here because I don't want to say anything bad about it, considering I think it's a five dicker. But I can, I'll put it this way. I can understand why other people wouldn't consider the Patrick Swayze Roadhouse a five dicker. Like, I get it. But, like, it wasn't that hard to either duplicate or to, like, even improve upon a little bit. And they, the failure of that is so fucking, it's so embarrassing. I don't know.
I mean, that's kind of what happened with Point Break, isn't it?
Probably. I didn't see it, but I just assumed that it did. Yeah, I didn't
like
think
it was
bummed out.
It was so vaguely similar that it was just vaguely similar enough that they could just rehash the name.
I mean, I refuse to watch the remake of Point Break just because of how unnecessary it seems. I don't know why I'm willing to give Roadhouse a shot, but like, I feel like a lot of those movies from like the 80s and 90s really were lightning in a bottle. Like, a lot of those movies should not have worked. They got lucky and they did. So just fucking leave it be. Like, I recently rewatched Point Break because Carl is a massive fan. And it's fucking silly. It's really, really, really silly. It's oddly homoerotic, as is the original Roadhouse. And it just fucking works. For some reason, it works. So cut
There's
your losses.
There's a bar in Philly called Johnny Utah's.
That's pretty sick.
Johnny Utah from Ohio.
like Keanu is a fucking FBI agent. He trains, he like practices surfing for like 2 weeks and all of a sudden he's as good as these like surf rats. It's like, what? Come on. He got that good where he's like surfing with these pros?
It's still, like you said, still they somehow made it work.
Yeah, like, and I feel like on those times where like you take a movie like that, that on paper shouldn't have worked. You read the plot to it, you're like, ridiculous. That'll never work. If it works, fucking walk away. You just like, it's like playing craps. You know? At some point, be like, that was lucky, and I am no longer pushing my luck. But fuck me, I'm gonna watch this fucking thing.
But spoiler alert, after like the final battle at the end, like the fucking bar is destroyed. I think someone drove a car through it, and then like a couple like dudes walk into the bar, like, hey, are you guys open? And like the bartender, like the owner, Jessica Williams, looks around, there's a fucking car through her front door. She's like, Yeah, we are open. It's just like, on top of everything, it was just like, wow. Like, they really went, they tried to one-up themselves in stupid the whole way, and they really actually succeeded. That is the most impressive feat.
Did they manage to get the, repeat the line, I used to fuck guys like you in prison?
No. One of the greatest lines in movie history.
Wow. Well,
I didn't.
There you have it.
I didn't watch any films worth discussing, but I did watch in its entirety all 8 episodes of the Netflix series The Gentlemen.
Oh, that's supposed to be good.
Holy shit.
The Guy Ritchie one, right?
It fucking ruled.
Really?
It was awesome. Like, I watched it 4 episodes Friday night and finished it Saturday night. Like,
is it based on Guy Ritchie's movie of the same name?
So it's the same concept.
Okay.
But it's not a sequel or anything. It's like different characters, but it's the same thing. Growing and distributing pot on the land of lords that are in financial difficulty.
Yeah, because I saw the movie in theaters, and I remember I was like halfway through it, I was just like, oh god, what the fuck am I watching? And then it just turns on a dime and just became fucking amazing. I'm like, oh my god, where was this movie in the first half?
Yeah, that because in the beginning you really get a lot of Charlie Hunnam and Hugh Grant together.
Yeah.
And then as the story starts to unfold, I love that movie.
It is a good movie.
It fucking rules. So I was really excited to see this. And like I said, it starts off the first episode, a lord dies, his kid inherits the property and finds out there's a pot operation on it and gets sucked into the gangster life.
Nice.
As he's trying to get out. And it's violent. It's funny. It's really good.
Oh yeah. I got to check that out. I've heard nothing but good things.
Vinnie Jones is in it, and it is the calmest character I've ever seen Vinnie Jones play, but there's still some badass. He still has a little bit of badass in the character. Like it's really good.
Is that
good.
The Bulletproof Tony guy or whatever? The former soccer player?
Bulletproof.
60 seconds.
Wait, how many things did you just throw out there, Jeff?
I thought one of his names in like a movie was Bulletproof Tony.
I think it's Bullet. I think it's Bullet Tooth Tommy. I think.
Okay.
In Snatch or Lock Stock.
We're talking about the same guy, Gone in 60 Seconds, right? Plays the badass.
The Juggernaut. From the Juggernaut, bitch.
Mm-hmm. He's also in the Condemned with Stone Cold Steve Austin, which is fun.
And Jeff's favorite movie, Midnight Meat Train. Yeah, real movie, not making that up.
Come on.
But yeah,
it stars Bradley
with
Cooper.
Bradley Cooper.
And Leslie Bibb and Vinnie Jones. Midnight Meat Train.
Or Euro Trip. That's where I first saw it.
Oh yeah.
No, I mean X-Men was first, but yeah. But he was in Euro Trip.
But gentlemen, the series, two thumbs up.
Two thumbs up. Yeah, really fucking good.
Is it a five Worth dicker if it translates over to series?
I mean, I'd go that far. Yeah, because I burned through it. Like,
no shit.
They're hour long episodes, and that was my night. Luckily, I waited to stay up until the Australian Grand Prix was on at midnight. So,
oh yeah, that is a good thing.
I used the gentleman. I used the gentleman to keep me awake until the Formula One race.
Well, Carl and
I've
been
back on
doing
this F1 shit, huh?
It's fun because the free game one of the free games for PlayStation Plus this month is F1 2023. So, I've been playing it, and I like the Drive to Survive series. So.
Well, quick update on the Oscar punishment. You know, on last week's episode, in real time, I ordered the Gamutra, a.k.a. a bottle of cow piss, and I was checking to see if there's been any shipping update or tracking info, because, you know, next week is our 650th episode, and at this point, what even are milestones? But I was like, all right, if that time's out, cool. 650th episode, I'll fucking drink some cow piss. I don't think it's been shipped yet. And I'm
Wasn't it supposed to be here, like, by now, according to what it said on the website?
Because
we talked about it, and you're like, I don't trust that.
Yeah, because I think that was if you were ordering it within India, perhaps, because when I went through the checkout process, it said something about like 12 business days, but I don't know if they meant 12 business days to actually just put that motherfucker in the mail, because it is still not shipped. I haven't gotten any updates, so I might not be able to drink piss next week.
Why don't you reach out to their customer service department?
I don't want to put myself through that headache.
Well, remember we talked about them maybe possibly being located in the U.S.?
Maybe, but if they're selling cow piss, I'm going to guess that their fucking customer service line is not in America.
Well, the joke was that the Indian company has their customer service in the U.S. while we have all of ours in India.
And that was a solid joke, Shuddy.
You just didn't, you didn't even care to indulge.
Well, I'm sorry. I'm just a little distracted about the fact that I have to drink cow piss on the internet.
Great, well, Kevin. Now Shuddy's pissed.
You did better at picking the Oscars.
You're right. It's my fault.
Like, you did really bad. Like, really bad. Like, you weren't even in contention.
Oh, yeah. I was terrible.
You
If
you say that, but I got the if the holdovers won,
Jeff would have
I would be drinking the cow piss.
Yeah. That's true. That's fair. Okay.
But that is not how it played out. At least in this reality, I am the loser who has to drink cow piss. I just am starting to sweat a little bit that in my efforts to buy a bottle of cow piss, I may have gotten my identity stolen. I'm starting to doubt the validity of this website. But we'll see. I'm gonna keep an eye on it. But it's not looking good for drinking cow piss next week, my friends.
Well, like you said, at 650, what are milestones anymore? So does it really matter if it's 650 or 652?
Exactly. Yeah.
Apparently we should do 666.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah, we'll do.
That pushes it off fucking 4 months.
Yeah, it'll be MSPH with the devil. I'll drink a bottle of cow piss. We'll have a satanic ritual. See if we can conjure up a demon.
Bust out
to talk
a Ouija
to.
Board.
Yeah. Yep. But hey, there's your episode, everybody. Thank you so much for listening. We truly appreciate having you here. And if you need more MSPH in your life, please check out our Patreon, patreon.com/madscientistpartyhour. We always do a bonus podcast every week that is exclusive to Patreon. I believe today we are recording our 320th Patreon episode. And Shuddy Boy, I know he's got some heaters lined up for Shuddy Boy's fucking news.
I am so excited about them. When I got them yesterday, I couldn't help but text Kevin because Jeff is going to be such a fan of them. It's going to be fantastic.
Yeah. So check it out.
Can't wait.
And
Jeff, I suggest rolling a blunt or getting a bowl ready because that's how much fun you're going to have.
Oh no, I got shit to do. I can't. I gotta stay sober.
Well, either way, the Puminati, you guys are welcome to fire up a blunt or a bowl. Whatever will enhance your listening enjoyment. And if you're a movie nerd like me, you can check out patreon.com/movienightwithkevin. Done 5 episodes so far. The Caddyshack episode went live on Friday, found some pretty crazy stories about that. And then this week, Back to the Future. So if that tickles your bungle region with a feather, check it out, my friend. You can also follow us on Instagram. I'm at Kevin Kraft.
At Shuddy Boy.
At Jeff Rowe Records.
And at MSPH Podcast. And at John Cooper Movie. And you can also check out Outkick Bets with Jeff Clark. How did my I guess we did that on Patreon, but we did a little bit of our college basketball March Madness bracket by seeing which mascot would beat up the other mascot. Or
yeah, I didn't track the results. I know you picked Longwood to beat the Houston Cougars in the 16-1 game, and as I texted you, Longwood got longwooded and got just fucking destroyed as they were expected to. But
yeah, why did I like them so much? Don't they have a silly name?
Longwood Lancers.
Yeah. It's like what a fucking porn star would call his cock.
Oh, more like the Schlongwood Prancers.
But I don't remember. Shuddy, did you track the games that he picked?
I didn't write them down. No, we were just spitballing. Because he was supposed to be filling out his bracket with his picks.
I was, but I didn't know it was coming up that quick, and I missed the fucking boat. So I didn't even fill them shits out. I didn't get to join the bracket.
Did you text your friend that you were going to do it and then just never fucking send him anything?
Yeah. And I texted him. I was like, dude, I didn't know when it was starting. So I never even filled out my bracket. Like, I even put effort into it. Like, me and my buddies were talking it up, and I was doing my who would beat up the other person to make my winner. And yeah, if I knew there was a fucking deadline, I would have gotten it in, but it just escaped me. So yeah, I'm guessing you're talking a lot of that on Outkick Bets.
Oh yeah, we're covering the Sweet 16 tomorrow, Tuesday, March 26th. And that's it. I'm going to be talking about the Final Four next week, and then Masters will be the week after, I think, and then the NFL draft. So that's what's on the short term future docket.
Nice.
For Outkick Bets. So check it out.
Man, speaking of Masters, we didn't even mention that they announced Happy Gilmore too. Holy shit.
Well, is that like official? Like that's the cast and everything?
I don't know.
I don't think so, because it was like
Shooter McGavin is the one that said he had seen the script. And that Sandler was getting ready to make it.
I don't think the cast is the actual cast. The one that I call bullshit on is Will Zalatoris being his caddy. Because we talked about this. There's a golfer that looks like his original caddy at the Waterbury Open, I think, the first tournament he plays in. And I showed you pictures of him, Kevin. You're like, holy shit, that looks exactly like him.
Yeah.
But I can't imagine Will Zalatoris is going to be in the movie. I don't believe that. But maybe.
I don't know. They got... Bob Barker in the first one.
That's true. But if you, yeah, everything also I'm, an entertainer.
Everything I'm seeing from when I just Googled it, everything is just like Christopher McDonald says Adam Sandler has the script for Happy Gilmore 2.
Right. Yeah, the thing that you sent in the group chat, if you see it, if you notice, the tour is misspelled. So it's like a parody account. So I don't believe that's the actual cast.
Whoa, and that golf girl that you like, Jeff, apparently Paige Spiranak strips down to tease Happy Gilmore 2 role. Quote, I was born ready.
Yeah, but she's kind of always half naked on the internet. That's her whole shtick. So, like, she could have just been playing into that false report or that parody accounts report.
That's true.
Or trying to get herself on the list of people to be in the movie by doing that.
That's true.
For sure.
Well, either way, you can also check these episodes out on YouTube, youtube.com/madscientistpartyhour. Like and subscribe, all that silly crap. And we will catch you guys next week. So until next time, ooh, something! Man, I'm fucking Shuddy. Are you falling apart?
No, I'm actually starting to feel I'm not to brag, but
I have a fat dick.
Nice, dude. So I see some definition there. Better than me. You know, I got nothing.
Yeah, I've been hitting the kettlebells every morning.
Damn.
I'm feeling good.
Well,
snowboarding.
I'll tell you what, Shuddy, I would be doing fucking kettlebells every morning if my goddamn shoulder wasn't fucked. I think it's just from like years of sleeping on my side. I always sleep on my right side and I fold my arm straight up like this underneath the pillow and sleep on it. And I think years and years of sleeping like that has just shredded my shoulder.
That's almost the exact way I sleep, except my arm is stretched out. Not bent. I lay on my right side like
and
that.
And you never, your shoulder hasn't been fucked up from it?
Mm-mm.
I get all these ads on Facebook of like a, it's like a little ramp you put in your bed that has a like a, it's like hollowed out inside so you can lean on it and then sleep on your side and then you're not crushing your shoulder with your head.
I want how in the fuck do you get a targeted ad for something like that?
How often?
Well, you just...
like, I mean, now I'm going to. I understand sure. that. I understand how the dot gets connected to me, but how did it get connected to him to begin with?
Like, I don't know,
man. Did you Google one day looking for something
no.
like that? Or did you like go to like WebMD and find out if that could cause your shoulder to be hurting? Like,
never.
You had to search something. Dude.
You are years behind technology and this stuff, Shuddy. All you need to do is think things now, and they've hacked our brains.
Yeah.
Really, it's fucking crazy, actually, I think.
I get the targeted ads that I get. It's like, man, you motherfuckers are on point.
Dude, I think I can do like the Google Chrome autocorrect just by thinking of it. Like, if I'm thinking of a word and I put the first letter in, like, I think autocorrect will get it.
I feel like I'm in that same boat. When I start Googling something, it's like, there's no way that was the top autocomplete for everybody. There's no fucking way.
Right, right.
Yeah, it beats me, man, but...
Like,
yeah,
I was looking for the NCAA tournament schedule, and... I mean, which isn't that crazy off the wall thing to search right now, but like I typed in NC and then tournament 24 schedule, like autofilled. And it's like, what? Like, it's not that crazy given the time of the year, but it's still.
Guys, fucking Skynet knows that I like sports. This is getting out of control.
Well, you put NC. I guess NC.
Yeah, where else does NC go other than NCAA? And then it's not that far to jump
in the middle
of March.
What if I was searching for an NC-17 movie, huh?
Yeah, it was just, I guess more what freaked me out is the fact that it autocorrect to the exact phrase that I was thinking and not just NCAA tournament.
That's fair. That's
it added a couple words and I was like, what the fuck? Like, that's exactly what I'm looking for. Thank you. But that's weird.
I can't even... I tried to do... when I was doing my workout routine, which was probably fucking 10 years ago now when I lost all that weight, it was all just, like, in-home stuff. I would go for runs. I would come home. I would do, like, some crunches, do a shitload of those push-ups with the perfect push-up thing. And then I had 20-pound weights that I would just do like curls and then do like the tricep thing and the fucking shoulder press going like straight up. And now if I put my right shoulder like straight up, like I can do it, but it hurts real bad. This is not ideal. I don't like decaying in real time while I'm still alive.
Every time I work out, dude, I'm sore for the next like 3 days. Brutal.
We're gonna get this show on the road.
Me and Cheech got Italian night tonight, so.
What happened?
Me and Cheech are doing Italian night tonight.
Is Cheech cooking or are you going out?
No, Cheech is cooking. Cheech actually does a pretty good job with Italian night.
I Draven and I did Italian night last night. I taught him how to make cutlets.
Fuck yeah, dude. I'm starting to think I haven't encountered enough vaginas.
This is the bloke who got me on the penis people.
Penis people.
Oh man, we got to find a spot for that guy in MSPH wrestling.
Get your hands off my penis!
Have him fight like
a dildo.
I am seeing him all over the place now.
Yeah, he's been like hunted down by podcasters and stuff, and he's like all crusty and old now.
I don't mean him. Like, I'm saying that video. It seems like everybody is now on that train.
Yeah, I mean it resurfaces every few years. Like somebody will discover it for the first time and be like, "Do you guys see this guy?" And then he's, yeah, he's an icon. I've gotten pitched, Shuddy Boy, after you bought some of his merch. I got some targeted ads like, "Hey, do you like that fucking weird Australian guy who was yelling about his penis? Here's a shirt."
Been a minute since I've worn that shirt.
What is the charge? Eating a meal? A succulent Chinese meal?
Like, who would he fight? Like a Chinese takeout guy? Like an Australian? What if it's him versus like three Australian police officers?
Yep.
No, we got to do, what about like a kangaroo? Yeah.
Crocodile Dundee?
Yeah. Like what makes an Australian police officer an Australian police officer? Like, I don't.
Just like, you know, I feel like they have, they look like ska enthusiasts. There's a lot of like black and white checkers. Yeah. On their shit.
On most foreign police forces, in my estimation, based on how the movies portray them all. 100% accurately, I'm sure.
What if he fights the Queen of England? She runs Australia, right?
Well, not anymore. You know, since she's dead.
Well, this will be like a time travel match.
He could fight Prince Charles or King Charles.
Yeah. Or the royal baby.
Kate Middleton against cancer.
Oh, Shuddy.
Sorry.
Not too soon. Love it.
Let's see.
Matt Scientist Party Hour has run a simulation and Kate Middleton has beat cancer.
Yeah. Good news. It's like when that octopus picks who's going to win president.
It's like, oh no, someone's running out in the crowd. They're running out from the crowd. It's radiation.
That's radiation's theme song.
Oh my god, it was radiation.
Dude, I bet you the BBC would pick that up. Like, they report on any fucking trickle of information about the royal family. They probably would do a story on that.
Oh, yeah.
Shocking news today. WWE 2K24. Wait, why did they become Australian out of nowhere? Got that fucking, this guy.
How dare you? Are you waiting to receive my limp penis?
That happened once. I found this this porn. You ever seen those like fake taxi things? Where like this guy's driving a taxi and then he just ends up plowing the female passenger in the backseat.
Oh yeah.
They have like UK ones, and I thought that this woman was Australian. She's like, "Ah, yeah, fuck me in the arse. Oh yeah, fucking give it to me, you cobbler." And like just saying the most ridiculous shit ever with the heaviest accent ever. And I pulled all these clips of it, and I was like, I gave them to Ellis and put them on his like button bar. And I'm like, "Hey, I found these really funny clips of this like Australian porn lady." And he starts playing them on the air, and he's like, "You fucking idiot, this lady's British. What are you doing?" I'm like, "Ah, what's the difference? You guys all sound the same."
Oh.
Oh shit. Oopsies. I just realized something. Give me 2 seconds. Woo-wee!
Dude, this P. Diddy shit, it's a trip.
Yeah, man. We can even fucking, like...
Recording in progress.
Report on that in real time.
Oh, it's less aggressive now, the thing on the Zoom.
What do you mean?
When you're recording, it's not that big thing that pops up in the middle of the screen.
Oh, I didn't even know you guys got that.
I'm very nervous that I have a micro grundle.
All right, let's see. Okay. I am ready when you guys are.
I am ready.
From Los Angeles, California, we have the Mad Scientist Party Hour. Huh?